A minister, arriving as a visiting speaker to a neighbouring church, decided to take a very informal approach with the children. Word had reached him of the strict and pious atmosphere of the Sunday school, and he decided he would introduce a refreshing change of approach. Sitting on the edge of a desk, wearing an open-necked shirt, he leaned confidently towards the children. "Can anyone tell me," he asked them, "what is small, grey, eats nuts, and has a large bushy tail?" There was a long silence. And then one small boy put his hand up and said, "I know the answer should be Jesus, but it sounds like a squirrel to me." We give thanks for the joy of jumping a rope and the laughter in playing leapfrog.
Give thanks to God at all times.
We thank God for the cool waters of a pool on a hot summer's day and the way the water surprises us when we first jump in.
Give thanks to God at all times and for all things.
We thank God for fireflies making our nights brighter and for butterflies which tickle us awake from a nap. We're going to stand and sing our first hymn, "Lord, Your Church on Earth is Seeking." And there are some great words in this as to what church should be concerned about. Ian has recorded this for us, and we get the last two lines of the song as an introduction, and then it goes straight in, and there's kind of no gaps between verses, so pick your breathing spaces.
Head.
So for our prayer of adoration, keep your eyes open, look at the pictures and wonder, and remember that we are worshipping and adoring our God. And I invite you to join in with the response words in yellow, and your bit is simply, "You are there." In the darkness of the still night, in the dawning of the daylight, in the mystery of creation, Creator God, you are there. In the breath of every being, in the birthing and the growing, in the earth and all its fullness, Creator God, you are there. In the homeless and the hungry, in the broken and the lonely, in the grieving of your people, Creator God, you are there. In the tears and in the heartache, in the love through which we serve you, in the anguish of the dying, Creator God, you are there. In our hearts and in our thinking, in the longing and the dreaming, in the love for one another, in the sharing of our being, in receiving and forgiving, Creator God, you are there. In our joys, our hopes, our healing, in awakening to revealing, in your call and our responding, Creator God, you are there. In our prayer and in our service, in our praise and in our worship, in your love that is eternal, Creator God, you are there. Amen. And now for some orally delivered information to convey the details of some of the forthcoming church and circus events to which you may decide to make an attendance.
The notices.
Upon the second day of this week, those designated Knaphill Methodist Church pastoral visitors, together with the minister, the Reverend David Faulkner, will gather together within the largest of the smaller meeting rooms to conduct the autumn pastoral meeting. This is scheduled to commence in the evening at 15 minutes to the hour of 8 o'clock.
Tomorrow, Monday the 4th of October, the pastoral meeting will take place at KMC in room 3 at 7:45 p.m.
Midweek, that is the next calendar Wednesday from this very day, CAMEO, an acronym for Come and Meet Each Other, will reconvene on these premises to be regaled with a presentation about the work of the Surrey Air Ambulance. Please be fully aware that the aforementioned meeting will be happening according to a new timetable. All persons are most hospitably invited to attend, but must ensure they are correctly located prior to half an hour beyond 2 o'clock.
This Wednesday, 6th of October, CAMEO meets again in person at KMC. This is at the new time of 2:30 p.m. All are welcome to come to hear about the work of Surrey Air Ambulance.
On to a most serious event. There is to be held a remote electronic gathering by Zoom for the express purposes of bringing before the Lord our God intercession matters concerning the hearts of his people associated with Knaphill Methodist Church and the needs currently prevailing upon the peoples of the world. This most solemn occasion will be initiated at the very hour of afternoon tea, that is 4 o'clock, on Thursday, the 7th day of October. All the finer details for the Zoom logon arrangements have been previously circulated to those whose email addresses are recorded within Nap Hill Methodist Church directory and who have granted permission for those addresses to be utilised for such purposes.
There will be a Zoom prayer meeting this Thursday, 7th of October at 4 p.m. with prayer focused on the needs of the church and the world. Logon details have already been sent out.
The Trinity Methodist Church, situated in Woking, will be presiding over the next and most providential circuit mission event, at which the Reverend Andrew Roberts will lead discussions and deeper thinking under the banner of Holy Habits. The day's explorative course is for the purpose of promoting and encouraging righteous biblical discipleship, in accordance with that contained in St. Luke's writing in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42 to 47, and seeking to both suitably equip and sustain modern Christian life. Beginning at 10:30, this important training opportunity will be conducted on Saturday, the 16th day of October.
From 10:30 a.m. on Saturday, the 16th of October, the next circuit mission event will be held at Trinity Methodist Church, Woking. Holy Habits will be led by the Reverend Andrew Roberts and explores discipleship as set out in Acts 2, 42-47.
Finally, a continued return to the regular monthly coffee mornings, which are held at Nap Hill Methodist Church premises. The ensuing event is taking place on Saturday, the 23rd of October, for the 2 hours prior to noon, at which the main hall will be arrayed with a number of stalls containing items for purchase, to wit, various homemade cakes, preserved fruit and vegetables, fresh produce from allotments, if these are surplus to requirement and duly made available for this purpose, boxes of jigsaw puzzles, and other diverse and sundry items. If more clement weather prevails, some components may well be displayed upon the Broadway steps entrance to the church. A simplified arrangement of refreshment particulars will be obtainable from the kitchen hatchway. Should you wish to provide a donation, or indeed in-person assistance on the day, you are hereby exhorted to have a conversation with the Nap Hill Methodist stewards.
On Saturday the 23rd of October, we are holding a coffee morning at KMC from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Stalls for cakes, preserves, puzzles and bric-a-brac will be set up in the hall and outside, weather-dependent. Refreshments of tea, coffee and biscuits will be available. Any help and donations will be gratefully received. Please speak to one of the stewards.
Should your concentration span be somewhat reduced or your memory less than perfectly proficient, you will be able to rediscover all the here mentioned information in convenient written and portable format on the papers entitled Notice Sheet, a copy of which you may remove from this place with your person subsequent to this service to act as an aid memoir. Your attentiveness is appreciated.
Details of all these events are given on the current notice sheet, copies of which are available in the hall and the table in the vestibule, unless you have already taken a copy, in which case we would ask you to read them. And if you are able to attend the mission event, please speak to Linda Shaw this morning. Thank you.
I hope you got the message there. When you come into church, any church, this church, any church in this circuit, any church anywhere, things tend to get a bit churchified, don't they? And more words are used than you actually need to convey a message, and things are wrapped up in complexities. And we tend to do that as adults, and children don't do that. Children say it as it is. So we're going to have a time where we make our confessions to God, and we're going to bear that in mind as we pray. In a world which teaches us always to be serious, God gives us children who love to make silly faces. In a world which searches for perfection, God hands us the platypus. Let us speak to God of our reluctance to be playful, so we can be embraced by the one who was willing to put aside divine dignity to become one of us.
A prayer of confession. Let us pray. God of wonder, you take mud, add a little water, and make mountains, while we worry about getting our clothes dirty, playing with our children. You nourish your creation with refreshing rain, and we grumble, particularly yesterday, about leaving our umbrellas at home. You grin at the sight of squirrels chasing one another up and down trees, and we can't remember the last time we lay on the grass trying to picture what the clouds up in the sky look like. We take ourselves so seriously that we lose sight of the wonder of your gifts. We think you want us to be serious all the time, and we have forgotten the joy and laughter, the delight which Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, brought into our lives. Forgive us. Imagination beyond creation, for forgetting to enjoy, to laugh, to play.
The good news is this. Imagination and play go hand in hand with prayer, with service, with worship, with life. God takes delight when we take the time to enjoy and play in the good creation offered to us. Amen. Linda and Helen are going to read us just one family's story, which demonstrates the sorts of things Action for Children have been doing very recently.
Coral is a single mum who lives in Northumberland with her six children: Ben, 16, Alicia, 14, Hannah, 13, Jack, 11, Bethany, 7, and Ava, 4. She first got help from Action for Children when Jack was diagnosed with autism. Coral explains.
I was really struggling caring for Jack, but Louise, our support worker, was brilliant. She was there for us through the diagnosis, and it was a massive help.
The family was just about managing before coronavirus hit. But when the first lockdown was announced, everything became so much more difficult.
When the schools closed, it was really hard having Jack and the other kids at home all of the time. Jack can be disruptive, and it affected the others. I found it hard to do things like shopping too. I had to take all six kids with me.
The pandemic also had a big impact on Coral's mental health.
I've had depression for a number of years, and the loss of freedom being stuck in the house was difficult. Mentally, I couldn't imagine what the kids were going through either. I was so worried they'd become isolated.
The family's Action for Children support worker, Louise, was there for Coral and the children throughout lockdown.
She asked the kids what would help, and they told her they needed a new laptop because Hannah's was broken. Louise said she would look into it, and then one day we had a delivery from her. The kids were so happy. It was absolutely huge for all the family. Louise didn't give up until we finally got a place for him. Jack has been going to school for a couple of days each week, and I can't begin to tell you the difference it's made to the family. I want to say a huge thank you to everyone at Action for Children. Thank you for believing in us and not giving up. We feel so valued.
Knowing people care enough for you can change lives. It keeps people going and lets you know you're not as alone as you feel.
Our next song is called The Welcome Song, and usually we sing it at the start of the service along with doing the actions. But today we're going to be very, very trendy, and we're going to repurpose it. And we're going to sing it and do the actions, but we're going to do them illustrating a relationship, our relationship as KMC with Action for Children. And I'm just going to explain that, if Steve can put the words up for us. And I'm just going to go through each line so you know what we're talking about. Okay, hold your partner by the hand now. Well, I don't think we're actually allowed to do that, and I'm not sure. So we're going to hold our hands out to the side to show that we, as the church, are linked to Action for Children, because we're partnering with them in their work. Next bit, let's swing hands to and fro. That indicates joyfulness, and we are sharing that in our service together. Next bit, hold them high in the air. That represents how we lift up Action for Children, its staff, its work, and the people it serves before God in our thoughts and prayers, which we will also do later in the service. And the next line, now let's hold them down low. That reminds us that in the depths of individual needs, it's Action for Children who reaches out and comes to the rescue, and we will still hold on to them when things are tough. Next bit. Let's swing them once again. That's just serving joyfully. And the next line, then let each other's hands go. This is not for abandoning Action for Children. It's rather to free our own hands to take Action for Children ourselves. We have to have open hands as a church to take on our work in welcoming children. Now let's look at those around us. We have to use both our eyes and our hearts, both open to God, to show who it is he wants us to serve. And the last line, and shout out hello. And we have to truly and enthusiastically welcome people by being the first to shout out hello. This is also on CD, and I think it runs through three times, and there's about four bars intro. So we have sung it before, but it's probably a while, so try and do the actions, even if you can't do the words as well. Okay. Okay, now Ian is going to remotely bring us our reading from Matthew's Gospel.
One day, when the crowd around Jesus was as thick as ever, a group of women came to push their way to the front. Some carried babies, and others held small children tightly by the hand. We want Jesus to give our children his blessing, they told the disciples. But the disciples shook their heads and stopped and waited closer. We mustn't follow the master, they told them. He's far too busy dealing with important people to spare time for children. Jesus saw what was happening and spoke sharply to the disciples. He said, don't ever let me see you turning children away. when he called his children, who danced between the legs of the grown-ups to meet Jesus. The mothers followed, more shyly, and handed their babies to Jesus to hold. He took each one in turn, laid his hands on every child, and gave each one his blessing. God's kingdom belongs to children like these, he told the disciples. No one can come into my kingdom unless he become as trusting and obedient as these children.
The groundwork for this week's Gospel reading from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16, was laid down in the preceding chapter when Jesus was in a house in Capernaum. That's 2 weeks ago in lectionary terms. But you probably missed it because all the focus was on the big stuff. Big stuff like Jesus' imminent suffering and who was the greatest and the first having to be the very last, and being the servant of all. Which is somewhat ironic, really, because the last two verses of that reading from Mark chapter 9, verses 36 and 37, is all about little ones, specifically little children. Then, back in chapter 9, Jesus illustrated his point practically with a living, breathing visual aid. He stands a little child among the 12 disciples and then hugs him in his embrace and declares to them, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Jesus both demonstrates and says what is greatest, welcoming children, for by doing so you are welcoming him and his Father God. For him, the little ones are the big stuff. But the disciples missed it too, probably because they were still thinking over what they thought of as the big stuff, especially James and John, who seemed to be briefly obsessed with position and prestige and power. But you're going to have to wait a couple more weeks in the lectionary for Jesus to unpick that one, and it's not for the first time either. We know the disciples missed Jesus' point there in Capernaum because only a few days later, after travelling through Judea and crossing the River Jordan, it's the disciples themselves who, in word and action, illustrate the point they've missed. People are bringing little children to Jesus to be blessed by him, and the disciples rebuke the parents, effectively shooing the children away. That's very welcoming, isn't it? Jesus is not impressed. The NIV says he was indignant, showing justifiable anger. He was cross. The Amplified Bible says he was pained. He was hurt. The Message says he was irate and let them know it. He was expressing himself. And in the version Ian read, he spoke sharply to the disciples. He told them. And it's quite often the case, Jesus turns it round and the rebukers become the rebuked. "No," said Jesus, "you haven't got it. The little ones are the big stuff. Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And now is the moment Jesus actually walks the talk. He shows that actions for children speak louder than words, and he puts into practice what he has preached before. He had said, "Welcome these little children." And what does he do? Verse 16 says, "And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them." Jesus is always true to his word. When Jesus makes a point here, it's true. It's not just spiritually true, deep in the heart of what he's meaning, but literally true in the words he actually says. He tells the disciples to welcome little children, and he demonstrates this by his own example. He welcomes, embraces, and blesses little children. There are other things Jesus says in this passage too. Perhaps more theoretical, maybe more spiritual, and certainly in the context of simile, like a child. But his starting point is to actually, practically, physically welcome little children. So what does it mean to welcome little children? Well, just for a moment, we're going to look at the word welcome, I hope. Unfold welcome. You're very good at this, you see. You know exactly when to stand up, even when we haven't practiced. Okay. Here's the word welcome. Just looking at me. Here's the word welcome. This word, welcome, means a kindly reception, to receive with gladness, to admit willingly. And that last one indicates that it's a verb, an action that you do. It's something you can choose to have an attitude, a feeling of heart about, to admit willingly. The word welcome, as we have it here in English, is derived from an Old English word, wilkuma. The willa bit means will or pleasure, and the kuma bit means guest. So someone that you welcome is considered your pleasing guest. So to welcome little children would be consider them as your pleasure-giving guests. I wonder how that sits with some of you after a whole day of grandparent duties. But alterations to this old English word over time suggests it has a connection with two other words as well. That's the first one, well. Well has two basic meanings. As an adjective, it implies goodness of condition. And it's often used in terms of health, isn't it? Are you well? Your healthiness. It can also mean rightly, as in the best way for something to be done. He did that well. As a noun, a well is a source of water, something essential for life. And the verb from that, welling, means to issue forth and overflow with something. So part of welcoming can be considered as involving good, right, healthy, overflowing with life essentials, the purpose of the greeting. The other half, come, is a verb. It indicates a positive action. It means to move towards the place or the point of view of the speaker, to arrive at a certain state or condition, to draw nearer. So the other part of welcoming is to do with getting close to, becoming more personally involved with something or someone. It's the direction of the greeting. Welcoming children becomes far more than the simple matter that the welcome song concludes with, of shouting out hello. If you put all those different shades of meaning of the word welcome together, you come up with something like this. If Jesus tells his disciples to welcome little children in his name, he could be thought of as saying this: for the complete well-being of their whole lives, the right thing to do is for you to actively encourage little children to get closer and to know me, the source of all life, better. Let me say that again. For the complete well-being of their whole lives, the right thing to do is for you to actively encourage little children to get closer and to know me, the source of all life, better. And remember, Jesus was prompted to make the statement about welcoming little children when the disciples were busying themselves discussing greatness. In the house in Capernaum in chapter 9, Jesus spoke deliberately to all of the disciples. Mark specifically records that sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said. And it's most likely that as they were on their final journey towards Jerusalem, when Jesus acted in chapter 10, all the disciples were present again. What's important here is that Jesus' teaching is for all disciples. There are no caveats. Welcome little children when you're the parent of little children. Welcome little children when you're the grandparent of little children. Welcome little children if you feel you're able to, or if that's your particular call or gift, or if you're in a specific little child educational role. No, welcoming little children is not optional, not for some and not others. Jesus' point is for all the disciples, then and now, and that means us. So some hard questions. How many little children did you welcome here today? As a church, are our arms open and ready to embrace little children? Just like Jesus did, even though there are the demands of the crowds and we're feeling tired and there's plenty of other things to do. Or in reality, are we a bit more like the disciples, effectively shooing children away? Because if it's the latter, Jesus is not impressed. To conversely rephrase his own words, whoever doesn't welcome one of these little children in my name doesn't welcome me. And whoever doesn't welcome me does not welcome the one who sent me. And that's some rebuke. According to page 88 of the Methodist Worship Book, and I quote, the sacrament of baptism is normally administered during an act of public worship. And indeed, over the years, that's the normal practice of this church. During that service, all the people present stand and are asked one question by the minister. Will you so maintain the church's life and worship and service that these little children may grow in grace and in the knowledge and love of God and his Son, Jesus Christ? Will you so maintain the church's life of worship and service that these little children present for baptism may grow in grace and in the knowledge and love of God and his Son, Jesus Christ? And the printed response in the book is, with God's help, we will. That question is asked for the whole church community. And the response is on behalf of the whole church community. And if you have ever said those words of response, you have made those vows. And that means you. So maybe it's time to review the promises that we've made. Have you maintained the church's life of worship and service for little children? Have you encouraged and actively supported those who did? Have you actively encouraged little children to get closer and to know Jesus? Have you ever asked for God's help to do so? Can you even remember any of the children's names? Are you true to your word? In the past, we've had people in this church who initiated ideas and events and services that did welcome children. Not just for special occasions, it was the norm. Children were usually included into many aspects of church life. We even once had a minister who rather recklessly said he'd go out the back to do the children's work himself rather than take the main service if not enough people came forward to help. Because for him, like Jesus, the little ones are the big stuff. And what about the children of today? The sad truth is that they don't even get an entry on our agendas anymore. Remember, for the complete well-being of their whole lives, the right thing to do is for you to actively encourage little children to get closer and to know Jesus, the source of all life, better. If we don't or won't, have we kept those baptismal vows? Today, we're going to be dedicating the money we've collected over the last 18 months or so in our little house-shaped boxes for Action for Children. And for us, that is a very worthy but slightly distant and closed-arm response to welcome and support children. I like their name, Action for Children. It tells you what they're all about. Actively doing things here and now for the sake and benefit of children. This is their mission statement. Action for Children protects and supports children and young people, providing practical, emotional care and support, ensuring their voices are heard, and campaigning to bring lasting improvements to their lives. There is something really all-embracing about it that positively, powerfully, and determinedly reflects Jesus' instruction to welcome little children. I wonder what our mission statement for welcoming little children should be. How about this? Nap Hill Methodist Church protects and supports children and young people actively through its life of worship and service, providing practical, emotional, and spiritual care and support, ensuring that they get close enough to know and hear the voice of Jesus for themselves, and campaigning to bring lasting improvements to their eternal lives by knowing and loving God. What do you think? With God's help, will we become true to our word and actually take action for children ourselves?
A poem entitled Let the Children Come. When mothers brought their children to sit on Jesus' knee, his followers turned them all away, said, "We've no time to stop and play. We're doing kingdom work today. Go home and let us be." When Jesus saw the children, he called them to his side. He said, "The kingdom is your home, and those who want to enter in must all, like you, be born again and leave behind their pride." When children came to Jesus, they did not understand the language of theology or social ecclesiology. They came without apology and took him by the hand. So Jesus blessed the children and put them in our care, that we might save and not destroy and nurture goodness, hope, and joy in every girl and every boy, till love reigns everywhere.
We're going to come to a time of reflection and prayer. And this has all been put together, so I'm going to explain how it works before we start. We're going to be singing the response, "O Lord, hear my prayer," at the beginning and between each of the sections, so that'll be four times in all. The first time through, I think there's three lines of introductory music. The rest of the times, there's one line. So we'll try and get that right, and if you join in when we do, that would be great. We're going to stay seated for this. In between singing that response, there are going to be three different voices, and these voices represent anonymous children who Jesus met, who are reflecting on what happened to them when they met Jesus, but now as adults. There will be a short pause after each reflection, just of a few seconds, for you to think about the words they've said before we sing again. And at the end of that, Linda is going to sort of sum up in a prayer specifically for Action for Children, so that will just continue afterwards.
Thank you. Picture one. When I was a child, I gave him all I had. He stood among hungry people who needed to be fed, and I believe that he knew how to make the food go round. Now that I'm an adult, I have much more to share, but though the crowds are still hungry, I am reluctant to give them what I have. Lord, when today I see the faces of those who long for food and justice, when I hear their cry, make me as generous as when I was a child.
When I was a child, he told me to get up. Outside my window, the neighbours were saying, "She's a hopeless case, there's no help for her." But he put them to silence and told me to get up. Now that I am an adult, sometimes doubt, sometimes frustration, sometimes failure, sometimes sadness surrounds my bed, and I hear the voices of those who criticise more easily than I hear the voice of the one who encourages. Lord, when I hear the voices outside which condemn, and the voices inside which discourage, make me as keen to listen to you as when I was a child.
When I was a child, he put his hand on me. Others wanted to keep me away, believing he had better things to do. But I pushed my way through the crowd and sat on his knee and let him embrace me. Now that I'm an adult, sometimes I think that he is too busy, and often I say that I am too busy to let his hand rest on me. Lord, when so many excuses keep us apart, make me as keen to let you embrace me as when I was a child.
Let us pray. A prayer for action for children. Father God, we thank you that you are active in our world, declaring your love for all people through the work of Action for Children. We know that every child and family member is precious to you, and we bring before you today all those children and families in need of support. We pray that the work of Action for Children will continue to make a real difference in their lives, and that they will be blessed with all the things that will allow them to live and flourish as you intended, secure in the knowledge that they are loved and treasured. We also bring before you, Lord, all those dedicated to the work of Action for Children, the leaders, staff, supporters, and volunteers. We ask that by your Holy Spirit, you will continue to guide them and give them the wisdom and strength to overcome the challenges they may face with care and compassion. Grant them the energy and enthusiasm needed to so lovingly support and protect those most in need, children, young people, and their families, in order to give them the very best start in life. Father, we ask all these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the full and certain knowledge that through you all things are possible. Amen.
We're now going to dedicate all our boxes and offerings. So, Tarina, if you'd like to just put our ordinary offering up on the table as well. And if anybody has forgotten their box, please bring it next week and give it to Linda Shaw. And if anybody has not got a box or still would like to make a donation, there are some little envelopes at the back. You may take one of those and then return that as well. So let's just stand and dedicate all that we're giving to God and to Action for Children today. Father God, we thank you that Action for Children exists and that it does your work in so many places. We thank you that through the hands and love of those people who work for Action for Children, you can reach and rescue people that we wouldn't even know about. We ask for your blessing on these monies. We ask that they will go with our love, that they will be received and used to make a difference to children and their families, to keep them alive, to keep them safe, to give them what they truly need, to help them to grow in grace and love. So, Lord, we ask you to bless all that we give you today, and that it will be used for your purposes and for your kingdom. Amen. We're going to stay standing to sing our last hymn. The words are probably unfamiliar to you. Until about a week and a half ago, they were unfamiliar to me. But they so capture what we and what Action for Children should be about. And fortunately for you, they go to the tune of God Rest You Merry Gentlemen. So you know that tune, so you will be able to sing them.
Thank you.
Linda is going to read a reflection, which is called Love Is. And there are pictures for this, and I suggest perhaps you look at the pictures and you see beyond the pictures, not just who they're portraying now, but who they portray in your life.
The hours after midnight, soothing your crying with love words and lullabies, when all of my being is begging for rest. Love is a painting of a scarlet giant with no arms and a single eye, bearing that heart-stopping legend in wobbly letters, "My mummy is best." Love is reading the same story over and over and not missing any of it out. Love is the last sticky sweet in the bag, only faintly dusted with dirt and dog hairs, resolutely not eaten because you had decided to keep it for me. Love is learning new skills so we can help you develop yours. Love is tepid tea and a soggy biscuit placed tenderly by our bed at 6:30 a.m. so that I don't have to get up early on my birthday. Love is caring enough to say no, even if everybody else is doing it. Love is letting you go with a lump in my throat, a prayer on my heart, a smile on my face as you stride out of the door to take on the world. Love is struggling to share the faith that is our sure foundation so that you, a child of the present, can have light for the future.
We're going to sing our blessing. Rather than me read something, we're going to sing a song which is just called The Blessing, which we've sung many times before in the past. And as we sing it, we're going to sing it to each other. We're going to sing it to all the people who we've been reminded of through this service. We're singing it for all the children, not just Corals, that Action for Children support and work for. And we're also going to sing it for ourselves. And the first time the chorus runs through, we're just going to let the CD run through and sing the chorus on its own, and then we'll join in.
May I?